Hi, this is Jessica Williams with The Lens, and this is the District 3 Orleans Parish School Board Candidate Forum. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to host these candidate forums. We'll host one for each district so candidates can get the chance to share their views specifically with their potential constituents in mind, and so they get to talk to each other. First up, we have Brett Bonin, a local family law attorney and the District 3 incumbent. Next up, we have Karen Harper-Royal, a public school parent and education advocate. And finally, we have Sarah Houston, the founder of the charter school support organization, New Schools for New Orleans. Thank you all so much for coming out today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Jessica.
So let's get right to the questions. My very first question relates to Orleans Parish School Board governance. And I'm going to start with you, Sarah. I want to know if you think that the Orleans Parish School Board should ever be allowed to run more schools traditionally. Why or why not?
The Orleans Parish School Board has a responsibility to ensure that there's a great public school for every child in the city. And whether or not they run more schools traditionally will be a discussion that we will have for a long time to come. Need citizen input, educator input, parent input to make those decisions as we move forward.
Karen, what about you? What do you think?
I think the Orleans Parish School Board should be allowed to run more schools traditionally because there's never been a shred of proof that determines that governance was why our schools had so many problems.
Brett, what do you think? What about you?
The answer is absolutely yes. The Orleans Parish School Board has shown the ability to go ahead and manage schools, manage money, also guarantee academic success. In the last 4 years, we've achieved the highest bond rating in the city, in fact, in the state, and we've gone from 17 to second. So regardless of whether it's a charter school or a direct run, we've shown absolute success.
The next question also relates to governance. I want to know, Brett, I'll start with you. If you guys would apply, if you were elected, would you push to apply for the failing schools currently under the auspices of RSD? And would you apply for those schools to come back as traditional schools or as charter schools?
I have absolutely advocated since the day I got on the board for schools to come back to the Orleans Parish School Board. I would like us to get the schools back that should come back to us. They were supposed to come back after 5 years. They haven't. I've advocated that in the legislature. I've advocated every chance that I can get. Given our success, I think they should come back to us. A lot of people have fought against that. A lot of people are ambiguous about that. But I think that local elected leadership is the best way to ensure that the schools do well. We've turned around the system. We've shown we can do it. I don't think it matters how they come back to us as charter or direct run. And I would welcome getting back some of the failing schools that the RSD has had 7 years to turn around. Some of the schools even that New Schools for New Orleans has. I think they have 10 schools that they started up. 8 of them are failing. 1 has closed. I'd like for us to have the opportunity to take some of those schools back and see if we can turn them around, given the success we've had in the past 4 years. So absolutely, I would like schools to come back to us. We've shown we've got a proven track record. We've shown what we can do.
Karen?
Absolutely. We should get schools back. Each of those schools that have reached the mark and are eligible to come back should come back. I don't think it should be a board vote, a charter school board vote. It should come back. That was the intention of the legislation, that schools come back once they had been transformed. I believe the Orleans Parish School Board should absolutely apply to get back some of the schools that have continued to fail under the Recovery School District and those that have continued to fail as charters. I don't think the state should recharter charter schools. They should give them back if the charter school has failed, and certainly many charter schools have failed. 79% of the Recovery School District charter schools have failed. We should not let children languish in failing schools. It wasn't good enough for it to happen under the Orleans Parish School Board before, and it's not good enough for it to happen now. We all know that the state took over schools that actually were not failing. And some of those schools are now failing, schools such as Dibert. It was not a failing school under the Orleans Parish School Board. It had a school performance score above 60, which was failing at the time. So that school still has not risen to the level that it was pre-Katrina. Those schools should absolutely come back. I think we should create a transition plan so that we're not just doing it willy-nilly. We do it with the input of the community, but with the intention in mind that we're going to responsibly bring schools back under local, democratically elected control.
Sarah, I'm going to allow you a little bit more time to answer this one because there were several points that were brought up. But first, I want to allow you to answer the original question, which was, would you apply for failing schools currently under the auspices of RSD? And would you apply for them to come back as traditional schools or as charters? And then I want to give you the opportunity to answer to some of the points that Brett just made.
Thank you, Jessica. I think the very most important factor for us in any decision about schools is what is best for children and what is best for students, and how do we ensure that more of our kids across this city get an excellent education. And so as I have been campaigning and knocking on doors and talking to parents of students, as I read the polls of parents across this city, there is real hope and optimism. And many folks feel elated that their child is now in a higher performing school. I was at a KIPP school yesterday, and the mother was just tickled pink because three of her children are now in a school that she feels is giving them a great education and a successful education and is a safe, warm place to be. And they are. And so those are the kinds of successes that we need to see happen for every child in every school across the city. And we need to make the decisions based on what's best for children, not what's best for adults. That being said, it's untenable for folks to drive to Baton Rouge when they have a question or a concern. And so we need to make sure that we've got the right system set up in place for parents to be able to advocate locally. So whether or not those schools are applied for, I actually think the factor we have to look at always is how are we doing with our kids and how do we make decisions so that we have more children attending excellent schools. Let's be clear, the RSD is number one in the state for growth. That is unprecedented. And who would have ever thought for New Orleans that we would be able to see so much growth in schools that had been so miserably failed for so long? And we should be celebrating that. We should be looking to figure out how do we get more of those successes for more of our kids and our families across the city.
And do you want to respond to any of the claims that Brett made about NSNO's first, I guess, schools being that they incubated being failing? Do you have any response
to that? Yeah, actually, if you look at the school performance scores, the average school performance scores of the New Orleans public open enrollment public schools in 2005, the average SPS was 49. That's on a 200-point scale. That's awful. I mean, that is just unacceptable for our children. If you look using the 2011 data, as you all know, we don't have the data yet out on school performance scores this year. But if you look at the data from 2011, the NSNO-funded schools were at a 71. By the original definition, they're out of failure. But thankfully, thankfully, we're not stopping there, and we're setting higher expectations for kids. And we got to remember that these were the schools that were the worst in the city. These are not the selective enrollment schools that the board kept control of. And it's incredibly important for us to set high levels of achievement for every student.
Kind of segues into my next question, which I want to start with you, Brett. What do you think have been some of the charter movement's strengths, and what do you think have been some of its weaknesses in those 7 years that we've had it in New Orleans?
The one thing that wasn't answered is I brought up directly new schools for New Orleans. Sarah has run on that. It's on all of her materials. And the bottom line is new schools for New Orleans, which she refuses to answer, has not been successful. There are 8 schools that are failing, and she talks about changing standards and all kind of stuff, but she can't refute what I just said. And one of her schools has closed, and another school, Langston Hughes, had the worst case of absolute, you know, I mean, it's over $600,000 was stolen. And she keeps saying it's about children, not about adults. But when you look at new schools for New Orleans and the fact that she drew a salary probably in excess of $1 million from money that was supposed to go to children and schools. And then she sits there and she keeps saying, it's not about adults. It's about children. It's about this. It's about that. You know, she's the one that is playing and running off of new schools for New Orleans. But what you're seeing is failure and a lot of money flowing out to salaries to her own salary.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but let's just get back to the question.
Can I respond to that with some data?
I'll give you a chance to respond to it, but first I want to get to the question. I want to give you a chance to answer the question that I asked.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead and repeat it.
The question was, what do you think have been some of the charter movement's strengths, as well as what do you think have been some of its weaknesses?
Look at the Orleans Parish School Board and look at our charters. We've gone from 17th to 2nd in the last 3 years alone. That is unbelievable success. People try to say we have selective admission schools. We have 2 selective admission schools. And they always try to berate us and downgrade us. And the bottom line is they can't. And what I don't like is the same people refuse to acknowledge the success of the Orleans Parish School Board. And, you know, I can tell you that, you know, our charters have worked, our direct run schools have worked. I don't think it matters. But bottom line is the charters that are underneath us have shown great success, and they've shown that they can deliver to the community and they can deliver to children. And I've had an experience. Let me tell you, I've been out walking every day too. I've been knocking on doors. And let me tell you, I have learned of a lot of problems that I did not know about before with some of the charters that are not under OPSB, but where I've heard of fees being charged for name tags for this and that. And I've been in some of the poorest neighborhoods in the city. I've had 8 different mothers catch me and say, how can this be stopped? And the only thing I can tell them is, I'm sorry, but that school is not under the Orleans Parish School Board. I can't help you. We're trying to get schools back. I could address it then. I can put in a call to your superintendent for your system. But, you know, I'm hearing a different story with regard to some of the charters under the RSD. And don't get me wrong, there have a lot of charter schools that are doing a lot of good. But, you know, I think it comes back to the question of who is best to fit this seat. And again, Sarah is touting her charters. And I think that's what we really need to look at, because we don't want the system to go back to the way it was prior to Katrina. And that's what I'm about. And unfortunately, what I'm seeing at new schools for New Orleans is a system that would bring us back to the way the school board was prior to Katrina.
Karen, I want to give you a chance to answer the question, and then I want to give Sarah a chance to respond to the question as well as some of the things that Brett mentioned. So first off, the question again is, what do you think have been some of the charter movement's strengths versus what do you think have been its weaknesses?
I don't think there have been very many strengths, except that there is the opportunity to innovate. It would really be great when we can see some real innovation instead of just replication of test prep factories. Many of the new schools for New Orleans charters are exactly that, test prep factories. We continue to hear many, many problems, and this is where the weaknesses are. Parents are experiencing real problems. Do you think that the children from Sojourner Truth Charter School care that they had great growth? Their school was shut down. Imagine being a junior, having to find a new school. Imagine being a senior, having to find a new school. There are real implications for families when these charter schools fail. So when you want to talk about children, I am absolutely focused on children. And children and families are being hurt by this failure of the post-Katrina reforms that have been mostly spearheaded by New Schools for New Orleans. I think that we are seeing a situation where charter boards are unaccountable to anyone. New Schools for New Orleans has set up a board bank, and they've placed many board members on charter boards. In fact, they share a board member with New Schools for New Orleans among several charter boards. It seems to me that the uptown elite is trying to tell us public school parents how to run schools. They don't use our schools. It's easy to say, talk about growth when your children are not in public schools. My child is in public school. I work with public school parents. I know the real pain parents are feeling. They have to get on a bus and travel across town just to find a school, because another weakness of the charter school movement is that it has forced us as public school parents no longer to have the option of a neighborhood school. How do you think I feel that my child has to stand in front of a school that I helped to build to take a bus across town to another school? So there are many, many flaws. There's a way to make this work. It has to be done with the community. Reform can't be done to the community by people who don't have real experience in being a public school parent or being public school students themselves.
Sarah, I want to allow you a chance to answer the original mm-hmm. question as well as respond to some of the claims that Brett and Karen have made about
right.
new schools.
I'll make the answer your question first, Jessica. The positive charters is that our scores for our children have gone up dramatically. I mean, when you look at every measure across every fourth grade leap, eighth grade leap, the city is on the rise. Kids are getting better educations. We're graduating more children. Our top scores have outpassed Jefferson and East Baton Rouge Parish. It's been the work of many teachers, many educators, some inside the Orleans Parish School Board, some inside charters, some inside RSD, largely inside the RSD charters. And those people should be celebrated and trumpeted, and those kids' futures look so much brighter. So the number one thing is, for the first time, we have consistent improvement. And not only are we setting a bar and just keeping it there. We're beginning to take that bar and increase it so that our kids will have more life outcomes and more opportunities moving forward. So the very first thing is that. I do think, again on the charters have the chances to choose their teachers and to work. The most important factor for a child's education is the quality of his or her teacher. And so you have all these schools across the city, some of whom are staffed purely by veteran teachers, some who are staffed by new teachers, some who are a mix. And our kids are experiencing higher quality teaching consistently across the city. And that gets them the gains that they need. I actually believe that we're watching, because of the charter schools, educators are able to make decisions closer to the children and what's in the best interest for kids and families. And so, having been a teacher, I'm the only person in this race who's ever spent any time inside of a classroom teaching as an employed teacher, member of the union, taught fifth grade. I remember and worked very carefully with our kids and students. And teachers want to make decisions that are in the best interest of their students and want to be able to make those decisions quickly and responsively to the needs of the kids. And so I see that the autonomy but yet accountability of charters is allowing that to happen for principals and school leaders and teachers to be able to do what's in the best interest of their students. You ask also about the negative. I think that we have a unique situation that most of our students in New Orleans are being served by charter schools. And so some have done a great job of serving special needs kids. Some have not. As a board and as a community and as a taxpayer, we want to make sure that we address all the needs of every child, our ESL students, those who have had anything. They're our kids, and we need to make sure that we're serving them. And so we need to make sure that we're holding all schools accountable. We've had some progress with one app disciplinary policies, expulsion policies being placed across the city to address some of these unique needs to help level the playing field. But at the end of the day, we don't want to do anything to jeopardize the academic improvements that we're being able to see.
I want to just stop you right there because we've got to move on to the next question. But I find it interesting that you mentioned that when you were a teacher, you were a member of the union, because I think that that's one thing just in the recent debates that I've seen that has not been brought up very much. And I just want to know, and I'll start with you, there hasn't been a collective bargaining agreement for the Orleans Parish School Board, at least, and just for charters in general, but we'll focus specifically on OPSB, since Katrina. If you are elected, will you work towards instituting another one within the Orleans Parish School Board's direct run schools? Also, will you encourage charter schools to strike up their own? And why or why not, either way?
Yeah. Again, it comes down to student achievement for me. If a charter school wants to enter into a collective bargaining agreement, there's some in the nation who have, and that's what the leadership and the teachers and the parents all feel is the best thing for the kids. Absolutely. It needs to be what is serving our children the best. The Orleans Parish School Board, I know right now, allows for payroll deductions, and I would support them continuing to do that for their direct operate schools.
Karen, what do you have to say about maybe the Orleans Parish School Board instituting a union again?
I think that it's been my experience as a public school parent, there has never been a time, and as I advocate for other parents, with other parents, there has never been a time that the union has been an impediment to student progress that I've observed. I've worked with the union on the school discipline policies. I've worked with the union on professional development. There is no reason not to have a union. After all, I am experiencing right now teachers and other school staff who are really being bullied by their charter school management. And I think that teachers and school staff need some amount of protection from wayward school leaders who are unfairly firing people and treating people in bad ways. Teaching conditions are our children's learning conditions. And certainly, I want to make sure that my child's teacher doesn't have to worry about being unfairly targeted because she did the right thing for children.
Brett, would you work to institute a collective bargaining agreement? Or maybe you can speak to work that you've already done, or maybe why you haven't moved in that direction since you've been on the board.
You know, that was the interesting thing is, before I got on the board and since, I was not for a collective bargaining agreement. And it was so it was really unusual to have the union come out and endorse and support me. You know, I can just tell you it was very unusual. I can tell you that the landscape has changed. We now are a system of independent schools. All the rules have changed. And in that regard, these independent schools need to determine on their own with their charter boards whether or not, you know, they want to have a union contract. So it's a question that is no longer asked of the Orleans Parish School Board. It's now shifted to all these independent boards that run these charters. They have the decision to decide whether or not, you know, they want to embrace a union collective bargaining agreement.
Would you encourage charter schools to do so, or would you try to institute one or push to institute one for the traditional schools that the Orleans Parish School Board runs?
Thank you for asking me that question. I can tell you charter boards need to do whatever is in their best interest, and I do not think it is appropriate for Orleans Parish School Board members to exert pressure on them, to come down to them, to try to persuade them to do anything. They are making decisions that are in the best interest of their schools, and I would actually react very against anybody that said that they were going to try to get a independent charter board to do anything, with the only caveat that we are trying to encourage a lot of the RSD charters to come back to us. I will admit guilt to that.
Maybe one app as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are trying to encourage them. We're trying to market ourselves so that we can get them and to come back, because under the parameters that were set up, they get to make that decision. I fully respect that. I think they do need to make the decision. So we are lobbying them to come back, and we're trying to make it comfortable for them to come back. We're, in a sense, rushing them. But with that exception, I do not believe that any pressure should be put on you know, charter schools to go one way or the other. They have board members just like we have board members, and they need to make those decisions.
Do you believe, and I'll start with you, Karen, do you believe, and this is maybe you can just speak from your experience with dealing with school leaders and parents, do you believe that all of the Orleans Parish School Board charters are treated fairly by the district in terms of getting federal reimbursement dollars on time or, you know, getting the support they need in other ways? It's something that's come up and it hasn't quite been addressed yet, and I want to give you guys the opportunity to do that. And I'll start with you, Karen.
I think there's give and take when you enter into a charter school arrangement. Those schools under an Orleans Parish charter, there is give and take. And whether it's fair or not, it is what it is. It's a negotiation process with the Orleans Parish School Board. Of course, our relationships can be done better, and all of our children would benefit if those relationships are done better. But from what I can see, it has been, for the most part, a fair process. I was at some of the meetings when they went through the charter renewal process. I was very happy to see that there are some of the cracks in the charters, the original charters, were plugged. And so I believe that they have been dealt with fairly. Certainly, they're getting even more than their share of funding under the rebuilding plan, because some of those charters were not damaged by the storm as much as some of the schools in the more flooded areas of the city. So I believe they've been treated fairly.
Sarah, I'll go to you next and allow you to respond to the question as well. Do you believe that all of the Orleans Parish School Board charters are being treated fairly by the district in terms of getting the money that they need in a timely fashion, getting the support that they need? You know, what is your opinion on that?
I know that that it is incredibly important for us in the city to know where all of the resources are going, and that we need to make sure that we are fairly and adequately funding. That a child who's in an RSD school versus an Orleans Parish charter versus a district-run school, whichever, they're all public schools. And we have to get transparency and understand how those resources are allocated and that they're allocated fairly. And as I said, when someone is a special needs child and they need more funding, that is addressed as well. I'm not an expert in it. I have not served on the board yet, so I don't know. I'm aspiring to do so and would work to make sure that there is transparency in that funding and equity in that funding. The RSD has a weighted student formula. It needs adjustments. There will always be adjustments that need to be made, but we need to make sure that it is out in the open and that we are funding equitably and that it is timely. Because there is accountability at a charter level that's a little bit different, they have to make sure that they are able to pay their bills on time, just like you and me. And so we need to make sure that those things are happening and that we're actually here in service to those schools and in for those principals and for those teachers so that they can do the great work that they do with our children.
Brett, maybe you can sound off about whether you think it's been fairly in recent years?
Yeah, I think to a degree it has, but we need to do a lot more. And one of the big questions that has come up is whether the charters can receive grants directly on their own and bypass the bureaucracy of the school board and others, even like organizations like New Schools for New Orleans that receive all these grants. And I absolutely think that these schools need to be able to receive these grants directly. And I do take front, you know, I heard Sarah just say we need to know where the resources go. You know, I've had the opportunity to look at their fiscal year ending in 2011. And this is a real problem when you see $778,000 from New Schools for New Orleans gone to Massachusetts. And when you see $469,000 that from New Schools for New Orleans gone to New York. And when you see $394,000 from New Schools for New Orleans going to California.
I want you to answer the question just because we've only got a limited amount of time.
Right.
And I want to get to closing statements.
That is the problem. It was the problem with the Orleans Parish School Board before Katrina. People had trouble figuring out where the money was going and what was happening with it. It is still a problem right now. I think to a lesser degree with Orleans Parish School Board, you know, we have the highest bond rate, we've got our finances in order. But there are all these other different groups out there that are receiving monies for New Orleans schools that are receiving grants, that are receiving donations, and their names imply that all the money is going to New Orleans. And it is flying out all over the United States, and people do not know that. And these schools are suffering in New Orleans because they are not getting the money. The money is not going to them. The poor students in New Orleans are not receiving the benefit of what people think they're giving to New Orleans schools, and the money is flying out of the state. We cannot go back to the way the system was pre-Katrina. We cannot allow that to happen. And so I think more needs to be done. That is the future in ensuring that these schools get these funds directly so that the Orleans Parish School Board can't mess with them, so that New Schools for New Orleans can't send the money out of state, and for other groups that are basically raiding these grants and these donations can't use it for their own devices to pay salaries, to pay meals and expenses, to have all this money fly out away from children, away from schools.
Now, we've come to a close to a close, and I just want to give everybody a chance to kind of give your impressions, your last final impressions to your potential constituents. Let them know, you know, what they need to know from you, what they need to know about your campaign and what you'll do if you are elected. And I'll start with you, Karen, since you're in the middle, and then you have a minute and a half to kind of give your last words.
Wonderful. What I would like people to know that Karen Harper Royal, number 86 on the ballot, is absolutely the best choice. I have the experience, 20 years experience working in the public schools in New Orleans as a parent and as a graduate of public schools. I am an independent choice for this election. I'm not beholden to big money from out of the state. I'm not beholden to any party bosses. I am an independent choice for the Orleans Parish School Board. I have proven that I work on behalf of the children. There's lots of money to be made in public education failure and the failure of our schools, and I can proudly say that I'm not a part of making money off of the backs of our children. My child is in the public school system, and I am the absolute best choice for the Orleans Parish School Board. I will work with the community, not against the community. I don't feel that I know what's best for other people's children. I will use all of our voices, parents, educators, and community to make decisions about where we move forward with public education.
Brett, I'll give you a chance to.
Yeah, I just want to say I've got a proven track record of independence. I have done what's right. You know, everybody forgets to mention it. You mentioned that I'm a family law attorney. Well, I'm also the president-elect of the Louisiana School Board Association. Everybody has ignored that. There was a time when it was unthinkable that a school board member from Orleans could rise to the highest level of the state school board association. I have done that. I've done that by being independent, by advocating what's right. I will always do that. I have never profited off of children or schools. I will never do it. You know, this is a labor of love, just like when I volunteered for the New Orleans Police Department for 9 years. I am volunteering to help our children and our schools. People don't realize we don't get a salary on the school board. We get an $800 a month expense stipend. That's who I am. I'm trying to give back right now. I'm not beholden to anybody. I am not beholden to out-of-state money or contracts or giving people money. That is not me. I will be independent. I've gotten widespread support for that independence. That's who I am. I will continue that and bring it to the next level if reelected.
Sarah, I want to give you the floor.
Thanks, Jessica. I'm delighted to be running for this office. I'm number 85 on the ballot. I have spent my entire professional career working for students and children, first in a classroom with teachers, with other with principals in a variety of settings. I have worked with teachers across the entire state, helped to evaluate them, helped to understand. This is a social justice issue for me. We have to ensure that our kids get the education that they deserve. Time and time again, that potential will unlock the future. So if you look at a school out in the East, Psi Academy, right? The ninth graders came in, most of them on a fourth grade reading level. By the time they got to be seniors, and they lost some along the way, we have high mobility in New Orleans, but their retention rate is still better than most schools in the city. By the time they got to be seniors, 96% of them were on their way to a four-year college. That is unprecedented. 91% of those graduates are the first in their family to go to college. This is terrific for our future, and this is the work that I've done. I've been able to help start those schools, push those schools. The schools come to us, and they ask us to help provide services that the highest and the best performing urban schools across the nation are using. That is why we work with them to help provide the services. Every question has to be asked. Are we helping more kids get an excellent education? And that's what I'll ask as a board member.
Thank you all so much for coming out. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jessica,
for having us here at WWN. Coming up next, candidates from District 6. This is Jessica Williams with The Lens, and this is the District 6 Orleans Parish School Board Candidate Forum. The Lens is teaming up with WWNO-FM to host these candidate forums. We'll host one for each district so candidates can get the chance to share their views, especially with their potential constituents in mind, and so they get to talk to each other. First up, we have Jason Coleman, a third-generation member of the Coleman Cab Company family and a Democratic Party official. Second up, we have Woody Koppel, a real estate broker and the District 6 incumbent, also a former Orleans Parish School Board president. Thank you guys so much for coming out today.
Thanks for having us.
So let's just get right to the questions. The very first question I have deals with Orleans Parish School Board governance. I want to know from you both, and I'll start with you, Jason, if you think that the Orleans Parish School Board should ever be allowed to run more schools traditionally, why or why not?
Well, number one, I think we do have some traditional schools who are still performing well. However, in the current landscape and the autonomy of the administration, I think it's best interest of the organizations and alumni and communities to look into why or if it would be beneficial for them to be a charter. Currently, as vice president of McDonough 35 alumni, who is a traditional run school, we are looking at the feasibility or the autonomy wise to be able to look at administrations and the administrators to be able to bring us back to the college preparatorial system that we had before. So I think it's on a case by case basis, but I do think over time people will make that commitment to charters so that they can own and operate their schools as they feel fit. So I think, yes, we will have some traditional, but I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we may be the first school district with 100% charter schools in the United States of America.
Woody, what about you?
Well, I think the Orleans Parish School Board over the past 4 years has done a good job of reforming what was a problem with the Orleans Parish school system. And if you look at our traditionally run schools, those schools have continued to thrive. But in addition to that, the Orleans Parish School Board plays a role as the auditor of charter schools. And I think we've done a good job of holding our charters accountable, holding them to high standards. And I think the results speak for themselves.
Would you apply for the failing schools currently under the auspices of the RSD? And would you apply for them to come back as traditional schools or as charters? And Woody, I'll start with you since I started with Jason last time.
Well, I think the way the law reads under Act 35, when Superintendent Pastorak, he's given charters that have reached a 75 SPS score the opportunity to return if they so desire. And at this point, as reading actually a nice interview in The Lens with some of those school leaders, and they're very adamant about not returning. The law is what it is, but I think when it comes right down to it, and I thought your article really spoke to that, is there's three things that charters are particularly interested in, and if they're going to return, it's finances, autonomy, and facilities. And, you know, I think over the past 4 years, you've seen the Orleans Parish School Board has operated in much more of a business-like manner and has given the public and charter leaders reason to believe in the Orleans Parish school system. And I think that in order for these schools to come back, we've got to earn that respect and we've got to earn them back. We can't force anybody to come back, and the law is what it is.
Jason, would you like to respond to the question?
Yes. I would like to see some of the schools return on a per school basis. Some schools have been under the RSD even before the storm. So before Act 35, there were some unperforming schools that were taken from the Orleans Parish School Board system. And they still aren't to the level that they're supposed to be in this last, I guess this would be 7 to 8 years. So those schools, we need to have a plan for them when they come back, and also have the resources to go into classroom to double down on that K-6 to bring them up to the level that they need to be so they can have a chance to go to any school throughout the city. Right now, we have certain schools of what we call last resort schools in the RSD, and those individuals can't go anywhere else, and so that's why they are at those schools. But I think if we give the resources to those schools, we'll be able to bring them up to code and up to a passing rate, and therefore then they'll have a brighter future. I don't think that we can take over all schools at one time. I think we need to phase them in, and we also need to give a good business plan and autonomy to the charters that are currently operating so they will want to come back. You have to give them a reason to come back, and right now they're just sitting on the fence saying, well, when it's time, we'll come back, or if the leadership changes in the school board, we will come back. So that's show them strong leadership. That's give them what they need to survive, and everybody will move forward together as one unit versus a system of schools and not a system run by the Orleans Parish School Board.
So I want to get around to the charter school movement itself. I want to talk strengths and I want to talk weaknesses, and I want to know what you two think about it. And Woody, I'll start with you. What do you think have been some of the charter school movement's strengths, and what do you think have been some of its weaknesses?
I think the strengths have been, it's hard to when you talk about charter schools. You know, charter schools are like cars. There's Maseratis and there's Chevettes. You know, we got a lot of, you know, we have some Maseratis out there and we got a lot of Chevettes. And we need to look at them as individuals. But I'll say overall, they've changed, they've pushed down the decision-making process, particularly the academic decisions down to the school level, which is good because you have a school leader, a principal, and teachers who can make academic decisions quickly, efficiently, and they know what's best for their particular classroom or their particular school community, whereas it may take some time for it to trickle upward to an administrative level. So I think from that point of view, they know their students better. They know what to do. On a weakness side, I'll say that, you know, again, it goes from school to school. You know, some schools, I feel, have not done a very good job of having meetings in public. Sometimes the budgets aren't 100% clear to, you know, the citizens out there. But that responsibility also falls back on the authorizer. And I feel like the Orleans Parish School Board has done a good job as being a strong authorizer. When things come up that are violations, if you will, of the charter contract, the school system is quick to respond to those and investigate and take action. And I think that's all you can expect. You know, the system pre-Katrina was a lot different because you had all types of things that went on in traditional run Orleans Parish schools pre-Katrina, just as bad, if not worse, than the worst issue that's gone on in a charter school today, and nothing was done about it. But, you know, change takes time, but I think change has moved forward, and we can look and we can see that even some of the worst instances in charters over these past couple of years, you know, whether it be financial improprieties or, you know, the terrible allegations that went on at Abramson out in New Orleans East, I think both the Recovery School District and the OPSB in those cases were quick to respond and respond quickly to get something done. In the old days, there probably would have been a lot more hand-wringing to get around to the solving the problem. The problem is by far from being solved, but, you know, I believe it's a step in the right direction.
Jason, what do you think are some of the charter school movement's strengths versus its weaknesses?
Well, some of the strengths are autonomy, giving the charter board and the administration the ability to operate their facility as they see fit and in guidelines with the state and local levels. The programming is more diverse, being able to give students more of a career path to their education or their training to further their career and not just give them a standardized textbook, but more in line with what they are comfortable and what they're striving to be. I also think the attitude. A lot of parents like the attitude of the charters and the uniforms and something new. They're really engaged, and let's keep that momentum going. Now, the innovation side is also where we need to look at what works at some charters and see if we can implement that throughout the system so that we can improve every school and not just have one charter operator who's successful that gets more schools, but help other schools continue and be able to grow and stay, within the system so that they can keep their certification. Now, to some of the weaknesses, the community is not involved in some of these schools, and we're starting to see the community protests from the students at Walker and Coyne, and it's a serious issue if they don't feel like they are getting their piece of the pie, and they also are competing against other schools that are within the same school building, which has also been a problem for years. And those of us that are from New Orleans know that you can't just mix and match everybody together in the same building. Issues like Sophie B. Wright that were a positive school that the community liked and their charter was taken away. We need to have more of a system where we look at what the community wants based on just grade itself, because the community were supporting them. And I think the community would have kept their support for them. They would have got to that level eventually, not just a cutoff point. The support and wages for the workers within the school is an issue with the autonomy of the RSD and the charters. I think we do need to worry about the prevailing wages of individuals who are in the school system and make sure they have a quality of life so they can provide it for their child while they go to school and have everything that they need. And funding is an issue, and we have to make sure we stay on top of that to make sure the accountability is there and that they have everything across the board at a level that is universal. It's like McDonald's. Everywhere you go, a Big Mac is number one. And we need to make sure each school has that accountability with transportation, food services, and books.
So we're talking with school board candidates for the District 6. And this is Jessica Williams from The Lens. We're sitting here with Woody Koppel, the District 6 incumbent, and Jason Coleman, the challenger, who is the third generation member of the Coleman Cab Company family. So I want to move to the next question. And my last question was about the charter school movement's strengths and its weaknesses. And my second question related to strengths and weaknesses are, what do you think are some of the Orleans Parish School Board strengths in the 4 years? Maybe you can speak to the time when you've served versus what do you think are some of the areas that it needs to improve on, Woody?
Well, I think, you know, we talk about best practices, and we've been talking about lessons learned. And, you know, over the past 4 years, we talk about, well, have we been implementing lessons learned from charter schools into our traditional schools? And we have. One of the things that I thought we did, you know, in the past, you had schools that would blow through their budget like nobody's business. And just, by the way, let's be real clear on the budget. The money comes from the state. We get about $8,300 per student from state and local tax sources. By statute, that money follows the child. It doesn't go anywhere else, can't go anywhere else. So depending on the number of students you have at a school, multiplied by that amount, that's what goes to the school. The only difference would be in charter schools, there's a 2% admin fee, which is to cover overhead for audits and all kinds of other things in regards to charter schools. So the money follows the child. And until Baton Rouge changes that, and the MFP has remained flat over the past 4 years, and despite having multiple school board members, multiple elected officials show up at Baton Rouge every single year, beg and plead to raise the MFP, it's remained flat. So we have to deal with the money we have. And in seeing that in the past, you know, you would have school sites that would blow through the budget. No offense to anybody, but, you know, there was always a safety net. Because you had such a large system, you know, you could rob Peter to pay Paul. If a school ran $100,000 over budget, no big deal. They pulled it from somewhere else. But we changed that 4 years ago. What we did was we instituted zero-based budgeting, which every school and every department in the school system is structured after a site-based model. Everybody starts with zero and builds their budget accordingly. So if you're a school site leader, a principal, you know roughly, based on 8,300 times the number of students, how much money you have to spend within certain guidelines, because you have to staff your classrooms appropriately. And that's something, from a positive point of view, where we've given more autonomy to the school site leaders and allowed them to do what's best for the children.
Jason, Do you want to respond on, in just your observation, what do you think are some of the Orleans Parish School Board's strengths versus its weaknesses?
Number one, they did refinance the bond and say it was money, and we give credit for that. Overall, we think there's been too much politics played in the school system. A lot of votes have been 4-3 or 5-2, or with somebody in opposition basically not voting. We need to understand that we must educate the public on the process of the school board, have more community meetings within that area, maybe once a month, and people should know who their school board representative are and what we do. The truth thing is that we must understand that we are over budget on several items and that we are over the deadline on a lot of schools as far as renovations. I know McDonough 35 and Booker T. Washington and others, and we must keep accountable to the public that we said we were going to do something in the timeline and keep it going and not move the timeline or the deadline. And as far as planning for each child for each building, we don't have a plan for every school in New Orleans, and we don't have the monies to complete the plan that we do have now. So I think under the last 4 years, we should have came up with that plan to put us forward so that right now we'll be talking about, okay, this is your date. This is your deadline. This is what you have something to look forward to. Currently, there are a lot of schools out there saying, well, what about me? And we have some called shoring up the building, but it shouldn't be shoring up. Everybody should have the same standard across the board of an education facility. I went into AP Truro today and actually was there for career day. And the school looked a little bit like it looked 20 years ago when I was in school, just for of a smart board being put in. So we have to make sure that every school looks alike. I don't care if it's Lusher or Ben Franklin, but every school everywhere. Thank you.
If you are elected, would you vote to roll forward the millage next year, and why or why not?
Well, number one, I would have to have a meeting with the constituents in my area to see what they are in favor are, because I'm representing them. But I will let them know what our concerns are and what the budgeting could be and what we could provide for if the millage moves forward, and let them make that decision. I personally, when I vote, I would like to vote for it as a person. But as a school board member, I would have to listen to them. And as far as the agreement with the schools and the school teachers, I think that goes with the unions, with the workers, with the service, with the bus drivers. Everything has to be contracted out, and those contracts have to be met, and those individuals deserve a certain quality of life. As a former, my mom's a former teacher, and my grandmother as well. So teachers are very important. Educators, as I call them, they make a life commitment to our children. We should have a commitment to giving them the resources that they need. So when you talk about their bargaining agreement, you need to understand that if we give them what they need in the classroom, they may be able to give and take with us as far as what they're requiring as their income level.
Okay, I want to move to Woody and allow him a chance to answer the original question was, if you were elected, would you vote to roll forward the millage next year, and why or why not?
I would be generally in favor of rolling it forward. We're going to have a public hearing on that matter, and I'm sure we'll hear both sides of the issue. The thing to keep in mind is, of all the tax revenues that come in, the Orleans Parish School Board only receives about 8% of that total windfall. Most of it goes to the RSD and an individual charters. So, this is a decision that needs to be made collectively with charter leaders and the Recovery School District, because those are the people who are going to really receive the lump sum, if you will, the benefit of that roll forward. And, obviously, there's always – everybody always needs more money. And it would be, I guess, if you will, it would be selfish of the Orleans Parish School Board, because we're doing so well financially and we're trying to hold costs down, to withhold that extra revenue from our partners.
I want to get back to also what Jason mentioned earlier about some of the divisions that have been on the board in the past year. And Woody, maybe I'll start with you again. If you can just speak from experience, or maybe talk some about if you're elected again, how will you work to make sure that the divides that we see, the audience sees when going to the Orleans Parish School Board meetings, sort of bitter, just heated screaming matches, aren't happening again? And do you think that those things kind of create an image that prevents maybe schools from wanting to return, or erodes trust in the school board? Maybe you can speak to
that. I think when you see those kind of actions, that does erode trust, particularly in schools that are thinking about returning because they think about their autonomy being threatened. But, let's be clear. The Orleans Parish School Board over the past 4 years has had almost 800 action items. Of those 800 action items, fewer than 15 have resulted in a non-7-0 vote. And a lot of this comes down to personalities. It comes down to difference of opinions. Some people don't want to move forward on something. And that's part of democracy. Democracy is not, a clean, hermetically sealed instrument. It's something that's it's gritty, it's dirty. Sometimes it's not straightforward. But I think when you look at everything as a whole, and I know you've been to a lot of Orleans Parish School Board meetings, but I know you haven't been to every single meeting. But there's a lot of, you know, people tend to see in the press, they see the flare up, but they don't see the other 785 meeting or 785 action items that were ho-hum. Like, for instance, we had a meeting last night, very lightly attended by a lot of people because obviously the presidential debate was last night and there were other things going on. No offense to anyone, but of the roughly 20 action items, all of them were 7-0. And there was hardly, there was no crosswords, but, you know, it kind of depends on the individual item. And I would like to particularly look more at the individual items, but a lot of it revolves around leadership and who's president and who's not president, and that's a personality thing.
Jason, do you want to respond to
some of and what is correct, it does depend on the action item. But when you disagree based on the policy of the action item versus the person's personality, there's two different things. I'm going to bring up two. The DBE program and local business program, that was an issue for the community, and that's part of the hoopla of why some people didn't like how it was handled, because certain people were on the fence or they were against making sure this was implemented at the time it should have been implemented before any monies went out, and how many millions of dollars should have been put into New Orleans versus outside of New Orleans. And currently we're still operating, I think, less than 50% inside New Orleans and the monies to go with those contracts. And another one was very important was the superintendent interim position, which clearly HR says what the superintendent has to be or has to be qualified for, which our current superintendent is not. And it doesn't say interim superintendent, it just says superintendent, because that still is the position you're in. It just makes you understand that that person is not permanently put there. But his qualifications, do that meet the standard right now, and I think that shows for leadership of the school system right now, and those are the issues of recently that have been those split in votes. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when we disagree, it's disagreed based on the principle of the issue and not personality. No, those are clear things that we must move forward as a city and make sure we follow the law and do what's best for our constituents, because economics is just as important as education. If you don't provide somebody with a place to live and how to raise their children with the monies, then you can't talk about education until you feed and shelter them. So I think at that point, we need to understand why we're here and work for the betterment of the whole city, not just one in particular group. And that's kind of what's going on.
What do you see as the biggest problem, if you could sum it up, in New Orleans education? And if you are elected, how would you work towards solving it? If there's more than one problem, try to be as specific as possible. And Woody, I'll start with you.
Well, I think probably one of the biggest issues is early childhood education. You know, the Orleans Parish School Board started the Mahalia Jackson Early Childhood Learning Center. But one of the issues with the center is not the center itself, but the funding that the state provides for LA4 and for pre-K. So every year we have to, if you will, wrangle around to find extra money in order to make that center basically to be able to function. And one of the ways is, you know, we have to keep adding more MFP eligible grades, which is great. But the whole idea of creating an early childhood center is to start, you know, all of our younger children there and get them up to the 2,500 word vocabulary by the time they hit kindergarten. But when the state only provides about $4,000 per child, as opposed to the $8,000 it provides for children in kindergarten, it makes it very difficult to make ends meet, if you will. And I think that one of our biggest issues is children entering kindergarten and first grade without the 2,500-word vocabulary, because once they show up without that, we spend a tremendous amount of time catching that up. And that doesn't matter if it's a traditional New Orleans public school or charter school. Everybody has this same issue. And if you look around and you look at the way charters are formed, very few have pre-Ks. And the ones that do usually have to put some, you know, have to collect money from parents or work. It's very hard to get the funding together for the pre-K. And until we solve that problem, we have a long way to go.
And how would you work towards, would it take lobbying?
I think it would take increased lobbying. I mean, part of it's going to have to be identifying something in the state budget that can be eliminated. Or, my idea would be is trying to better fund also special needs and having the exceptionalities and the money associated with those exceptionalities follow the child the same way the MFP funding does right now. And in doing that, I think we could incentivize charters particularly to specialize and take more children with special needs. and kind of get some economies of scale. But I think there's some, you know, we need to kind of look a little bit tighter. And I haven't, to be honest, I haven't identified where in the state budget you could find this extra money because everything is being cut at this point. But one way or the other, we're going to pay for it because we pay for the money. We pay for those children when they reach first grade to remediate them up to the 2,500-word vocabulary.
Jason, what do you think is the biggest problem facing New Orleans education right now? And if you are elected, how would you work to solve it?
Okay, well, what is absolutely correct, it is funding, it is resources. If we were able to have a certified teacher program for pre-K 3 through 6th grade, which, I mean, have the resources within the classroom, we could be a lot more farther as far as test scores. I think we'll probably be in the 90 range if we had that. But currently, I only know about two in my area that actually have a pre-K 3, and one of them you have to pay for. And you pay for it in the beginning of the year. My child goes to Audubon, so I know about that program. But we need to double down in that classroom from pre-K 3 to 6th grade with a teacher that's certified and a teacher's aide to be able to give the resources to those students at the early point of stage, and they will be farther along, and I think our test scores and our graduation rate will go up in not only just getting a GED, but actually finishing school and having a career path. I think that's so important. And far as how do we get there, yeah, we're going to have to go to state and be able to say, hey, look, this is what is needed, this is what is working, and have those people in education say, okay, this is what we can do this year, this is what we can do next year. Maybe we can increase it one school at a time, or maybe outsource that to some agencies that do have early start, but not just on the level that they are currently providing on, but actually have a higher standard for the teachers or who they're hiring to be able to provide those resources to the students.
Jason, I'll start with you. We're at the point where we need to get to the closing statements. I want to offer you a chance to, you know, tell the listeners and the readers of The Lens what makes you uniquely qualified to hold this seat.
Well, as I called it an activist since the second grade. I've been elected to the Student Government Association and at John Diver, Beauregard, McDonough 35, Southern University, and has served as the past president of Southern University Alumni of New Orleans and current vice president of 35 Alumni and building chair. I've been working with the school board on several issues, and I understand what it takes. I understand the commitment to the community, and I'm just trying to eliminate the politics and put the children first. At the end of the day, you can trust that I am who I say I am, and I'm going to do what I need to do for the community's sake. I'm going to tell you the truth, and we'll have to deal with the facts, and we can make those decisions together to make a better future for New Orleans. Education is the foundation for every great civilization. New Orleans is no different, and we must put emphasis on education, and I think this next 4 years will be critical to our renewal and keeping going with the education reform. It's funny that we say reform because actually we're going back to what my dad and mom taught about 40 years ago with a workshop and career tech. So we're going to make sure we give them options, school and career. I'm Jason Coleman, number 89, www.electjasoncoleman.com. Thank you for having me.
Woody, I'll offer you the chance. I'll offer you the floor.
Thanks for having us here today. My name is Woody Koppel, and I served as a teacher in the Orleans Parish School Board for 7 years. I taught first grade. In addition to that, I've run a successful real estate business for the past 20 years, and I felt like those unique experiences, having worked on the front lines in education, teaching children to read, hundreds of children to read, has uniquely qualified me to serve on this board. I served as president of this board for 2 years, and over the past 4 years, you've seen amazing results. We have the highest. We do have the highest graduation rate in the state. 95% cohort graduation rate. We have the highest special needs graduation rate in the state. We've gone from 17th in the state academically to number 2 in the state academically. We have also finances. We've turned the financial house around. 4 years ago, the school system was almost $400 million in bond indebtedness. Under my leadership as president, I led the charge to get rid of surplus property that was not being used. I led the charge to tighten down all these budgets and to institute zero-based budgeting, which resulted in being able to go to the bonding agencies and get a better bond rating for the Orleans Parish School Board, which enabled us to, if you will, shorten the repayment time on our debt, saving the district $22 million. Today, we owe about $240 million. So we've paid from $400 million in debt to almost $240, which I think is admirable, particularly in a down economy. And we've worked very hard on implementing the master plan. Is the master plan perfect? No, it's not. But Are we getting things done? Yes, we are. And we're doing it within the confines of a responsible, business-like manner. When we don't have enough money to do something, we pull back, but we work hard. And I hope you'll consider me on November 6th. This is Woody Koffel from the Orleans Parish School Board.
Thank you so much for coming out, you guys. I really appreciate it, and WWNO appreciates it as well. That's the end of the forum.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
We've been talking with candidates from the Orleans Parish School Board's District 6 race, Woody Koppel, the incumbent in the race, and Jason Coleman, the challenger. This is part of a collaboration with WWNO-FM and The Lens, intended to allow readers and listeners the chance to learn more about these candidates. I'm Jessica Williams from The Lens, and thanks for joining us.